Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you've had a great weekend. I had kind of an interesting one I'll tell you about in a moment, and look forward to spending some time today opening up a very familiar passage of Scripture and just hearing some insight about that. You know, one of the things that we like to do here on Connecting Faith is to relate God's Word to everyday life. And this one is certainly one that if you have done any work in livestock, you know that there is something to be said about the role of the caretaker or the shepherd, to use the term. We're going to talk a little bit about Psalm 23. I had Justin Benning and sitting in on the board today. Justin and I had a little treatment on Friday for my face from a lifetime of being out in the field without sunscreen. You know, so they did this little treatment, which actually ended up kind of burning my face. Looks like I fell asleep in the tanning bed. So I got that. I was thinking, that was from, being out in the field all day, that the hearing is going from having the John Deere running wide open and the eyes, can't really see very well. And I thought, there's something about farming. It does take its toll, probably. But
I was going to say, your ears are burning. We're talking about you, right, but your whole face is burning. That's kind of
really
sad.
It really is. But we tried raising sheep a little bit when I was in 4-H. We did a few, but never really got too serious about it. But my guest today has done a little bit himself, and we're happy to welcome back Rob Morgan to the broadcast. Robert is the pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship Church in Nashville, and he's been there now for over 30 years, and he's a best-selling gold medallion winning author. Has written at least 25 books, maybe more. And this one that we want to focus on is focusing on Psalm 23, the title, "The Lord is My Shepherd," resting in the peace and power of Psalm 23. And Robert, actually, back in your history, had a few sheep yourself, right? So, Rob, this is you've got some experience. We can talk farm to farm here today.
Yes, we never did any serious shepherding with large flocks. But when we moved into our house, my wife and I, and our three, at the time, little girls, we had a pasture behind it, and we got some sheep. And they were very good about keeping the place mowed, very cheap laborers. And so for about 20 years, we raised those sheep, a flock of about five or six. If one would die, then we'd replace her. And I learned a great deal from those sheep about Psalm 23, which is a passage that I memorized, Neil, when I was in the second grade.
Probably most of us have. It's been one of the first passages that we've memorized, or certainly that we've been introduced to. It's Psalm 23 is probably one of the best-loved psalms, maybe the whole passage of Scripture.
Well, it's the best-loved and most memorized poem in human history. From the moment that David wrote it 3,000 years ago, it has been memorized and memorialized by every generation from antiquity till now. And you think about that. For 3,000 years, there have been children in every generation memorizing this Psalm 23. It has a richness and a fame and a value to it that no other poem in all of the history of literature or the Bible has. And it's very, very special.
Well, of course, it's not just children memorizing it, but it gets repeated often, and those particularly in difficult times, it seems, and maybe when approaching end of life, this becomes a favorite psalm as well.
Well, it's very used. It's very often used at funerals, but we've got to remember that it's not just for funerals or memorial services. I spoke on the 23rd Psalm recently, and a lady came up to me, and she said, I have never liked Psalm 23. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, when I was a child, my mother died, and I remember going to the funeral, and that psalm was printed on the back of the obituary card, and I've always associated it with that loss and sorrow when I was a child. She said, until today when you spoke on it, I hadn't liked Psalm 23, but now she says I'm understanding that it's for life and not just for death. And I was so thrilled that she had come to that understanding. It really is a psalm that is visual enough and vivid enough so that we can meditate on it in times of when everything is going well because it's a picture of contentment, or in times when there are difficulties because it talks about the dark valleys.
I know this was part of a message series that you'd done, but it's a wonderful book. Rob, of course, you're a great writer, but this is I'm sure that it was probably just enjoyable to put this together, just to be able to draw back on some of your experiences in raising sheep, as well as just studying God's Word anew and afresh.
Well, I had, as I said, I memorized this psalm in childhood, and so I have been thinking about it all of these years, and then I've read everything that I could find on the 23rd Psalm. There have been a number of books that have come out on this, many of them, 100 years old or 75 years old. And then, you know, we had the experience of raising sheep. And then I've also preached through Psalm 23 three times in my, I've been in the pastorate for over 30 years. And so about once a decade, I've done an entire series of sermons on Psalm 23. So I accumulated all of that, combined it with some of the experiences that we'd had with our own sheep. And I think that, I think that sometimes we look at a passage that's familiar, like Psalm 23, and we love it just because it's familiar, but we've never gone a little bit more deeply into it, and there's an awfully lot just beneath the surface of Psalm 23 that is tremendously encouraging.
We're going to dig a little deeper today, and would love to have you join the conversation, too. In fact, if you have been raising sheep, you have some experience personally, we'd love to you'd be able to chime in and add to what Rob has to say today, and you're welcome to do that. I've got a couple of copies of his book, and I would love to be able to just put your name in that. We'll do a little drawing today for copies of this wonderful resource, The Lord is My Shepherd. It's Resting in the Peace and Power of Psalm 23 from Rob Morgan, my guest today. And the number is 877-93-FAITH if you would like to join in, 877-933-2484. Rob, maybe before we actually get into these wonderful six verses that we know so well, the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need, and it goes on from there. But it's tucked between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24, and you help us with a little bit of context of the importance of this psalm.
Well, I do believe that there is a linkage between many of the psalms, and that when you read a particular psalm, if you look at the one that precedes it and the one that follows it, you can very often see that there is an order and an arrangement to them. And I think this is particularly true with this triad or trilogy of Psalms. Psalm 22 is a vivid picture of the crucifixion of Christ written 1,000 years in advance. It's as though the author of Psalm 22 was a journalist who was standing at the foot of the cross and writing down everything he saw and heard and recording it for us. And also the psalm ends with a prediction about the resurrection. And it's all about Calvary. It's a remarkable messianic psalm full of predictions and prophecies. And then, of course, we have Psalm 23. And then Psalm 24 is about the enthronement of the Messiah, and a great refrain that occurs in Psalm 24, open up your gates, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. And it speaks of the enthronement and the return of Jesus Christ. So someone said that Psalm 22 is Mount Zion, is Mount Calvary. Psalm 24 is Mount Zion. And between the two, you have this Psalm 23, which is a lovely valley with still meadows and green pastures. Or to put it differently, Psalm 22 is the Good Shepherd dying for his sheep. Psalm 23 is the Good Shepherd living for his sheep. And Psalm 24 is the Good Shepherd coming for his sheep. And when you put the three together, you discover that the Good Shepherd takes care of our needs, both past, present, and future. And these three psalms really present a trilogy that teaches that in very vivid and messianic language.
Appreciate that. Just that little reminder, because as you said, these are familiar words. We've read them so many times, and to be able to sort of just get a bigger context and to see them in fresh eyes, that's what we want to accomplish today. Would people understand Psalm 23 differently today than what the you know, 3,000 years ago? Would it have been had a whole sort of different context or meaning?
Well, I don't think that it would have had a different context or meaning, but I do think they would have understood it better because in Bible times and Bible lands, everybody was very familiar with the raising of sheep. There were hundreds of thousands of heads of sheep in the Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of animals, but sheep are by far the most plenteous. And so everybody understood sheep when you were traveling anywhere. For example, if Jesus and his disciples in New Testament times were traveling from north to south, they would encounter large flock of sheep following a shepherd. It would have clogged the roadways. They would have had to have gotten out of the way and let these several hundred sheep of a flock pass. And so people really grew up in a society where they understood this. And one of the things that I've tried to do in this book, The Lord is My Shepherd, is to take people into this world and to show them what sheep are like and what sheep herding is like and what it would have been like in biblical times and how it would have felt, because understanding all of that just enhances our knowledge of the 23rd Psalm, because most people today, at least most people that we know and here in America, don't have that kind of background or experience. And so it helps to have some real information about what it's like to be a shepherd raising sheep, and it enhances our understanding and appreciation for the meaning of the psalm.
We're going to jump in, do a little verse-by-verse unpacking, I guess, just to take a leisurely stroll through the valleys and beside the still waters, find some green pasture together, and we'll do that in just a moment with Robert Morgan. Rob is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship Church in Nashville, Tennessee. He's been there 30-plus years, and is a prolific writer and a gifted communicator. The book we're talking about, The Lord is My Shepherd. It's resting in the peace and power of Psalm 23. And I think by the end of today's broadcast, you will have come to love this psalm even more. So please stay tuned. And if you'd like to join our conversation, we have some couple of copies of Rob's book to give away. And welcome to call in and just get your name on the list for that. And if you, particularly if you've maybe done some work as a shepherd, we'd love to hear your story too. 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. Some of the opening words to Best Loved Psalm, Psalm 23. And we're talking today about it with our good friend Rob Morgan, who's senior pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's served there for over 30 years, and he's a best-selling author. The latest that we're talking about is called The Lord is My Shepherd, Resting in the Peace and Power of Psalm 23. It's from Howard Books. Rob's also had some experience raising sheep, and so we're getting some added benefit, plus his Bible study. And, Rob, I remember when the Living Bible came out, and Ralph Carmichael took the opening lines of Ken Taylor's paraphrase and talked about, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need." And I always thought that was such a wonderful phrase. Let's jump in with what it means that the Lord is my shepherd and we don't need to be in want.
Well, you're about the only one that remembers that song. I quote it very frequently, and nobody remembers it anymore. But it was written by Ralph Carmichael for the Billy Graham film with entitled His Land with Cliff Barrows. And it was really, the song is almost word for word from the Living Bible, the entire psalm. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. He lets me rest in meadows green. He leads me beside the quiet stream. He keeps on giving life to me. And I think the thing that is brought out by that Living Bible translation is that verse 1 of the 23rd Psalm really is the theme. It is the text. And verses 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, the remainder of this little psalm, is simply the exposition of the text. So the main lesson of Psalm 23 is exactly that. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. That means that he meets our internal needs, he meets our external needs, and he meets our eternal needs. In my book, I say the Lord is all about meeting our eternal needs, external, internal, and eternal. And that's dependent upon the Lord being our shepherd. If he is, then whatever needs we may have in life, they are guaranteed to be met by him.
And that word my is pretty important too, isn't it?
Well, this is one of the marvels about the 23rd Psalm. People don't realize this unless they really sit down and analyze it, that 25% of the text of Psalm 23 is personal pronouns. 25%. There are 28 personal pronouns in these six little verses. And it's not our, like the Lord's Prayer. I mean, we love the Lord's Prayer. But it's in plural, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day. But the 23rd Psalm is full of singular pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd. And someone said that it is so universal because it is so individual. And so it says, he is my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And it's he and me and you and I all the way through it. And so with all of the vivid language, yet there is room for 28 personal pronouns to tell us just how deeply, intimately we can be acquainted with the 23rd Psalm.
You know, speaking of vivid language, I think you say in the book, I mean, it's in the Hebrew language, this is only about 50 words or so, but the words are vivid, aren't they, in their description?
Well, and that allows us to meditate on it. You know, there was a time in my life when I had a very deep problem. I couldn't sleep at night. I'd get up off of the bed and go into the living room and lay down on the sofa and toss and turn, and my mind was anxious about this prolonged stress that I was under. And the only thing that would calm me down would be meditating through the 23rd Psalm, and I'd start with verse 1 and work my way all the way through it and then go back to verse 1 again. And the language is so visual that it makes it easy to imagine. You can see yourself. You can imagine the scenes. And in your mind's eye, you can paint a picture. It's almost like a movie going all the way through the 23rd Psalm. And we meditate through it. And I've read many people who have done this. In fact, I fill my book with stories of people whose life was literally saved on battlefields or in other difficult situations because of their ability to meditate through Psalm 23. And it's because of that very thing you say, Neil, that it's a very vivid and visual passage.
But what does it mean that the Lord is our shepherd? I think you've raised sheep. I've attempted it a little bit. A lot of people it was the staple of much of the world, certainly in biblical times.
Well, the interesting thing about sheep is that they're the only animal that I can think of that requires a human being. You know, if you're a dog, then you can run in packs and be wild and run through the woods and fend for yourself and protect yourself and find things to eat. If you're a fox or a bird of the air or cats, you know, don't necessarily need people. They're sort of independent-minded. All of the other animals that God created can survive on their own if they have to. But sheep absolutely cannot. They have to have someone to show them where to eat. They easily get lost. They don't have any way of protecting themselves. They don't have claws or teeth that can attack. They can't run away. They're too lumbersome. They can't run and hide or burrow into a hole or climb up in a tree. They're just defenseless. And they've got to have a human being to take care of their needs and to protect them and to show them where to eat and to help them, you know, when they get sick or they have a problem or they get down on their back and with all fours up in the air, and they can't right themselves. And so this is the job of the shepherd, is to take care of these creatures who are utterly dependent upon them. And there's also something else about sheep, that somehow there is in the psychology of a sheep a gravitation towards the human being who takes care of him or her. Those sheep form a bond with a shepherd. And they come to know that shepherd and the shepherd's voice, and there is a linkage, a love, a fellowship that develops between the shepherd and the sheep. So all of this, I think, is why God created sheep to begin with, to give us this picture of what it means when it comes to our dependence on the Savior and the fellowship that we can have with him.
The Lord is my shepherd. Familiar words. I lack nothing. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Rob, there's, you know, some of us that, still at you know, our advanced age don't like other people making us do anything.
Well, the thing to remember about sheep is that they don't eat when they're lying down. They only eat when they're standing up, unless they're sick. And when we were raising sheep, I never once saw a sheep lying down and grazing, because they like to get up early in the morning, say 4 o'clock in the morning, while the dew's on the ground, and they begin grazing. And then after, say, 10 o'clock or mid-morning comes, the sun is out, maybe it's a little bit warmer, then they'll find a shady place, and that's when they lie down and they chew their cud. So when it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, it means that we are content, that we are full, that our lives are satisfied, that we are content. And when a sheep is lying down chewing its cud, it is just ruminating, literally, on the blessings that it has enjoyed. And so it's a picture of contentment. It means that truly we are blessed. It says in the NIV in John chapter 1 that out of the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. So when we recognize how wonderful it is that we have a shepherd, how richly we are blessed, how all of our needs have been met, and we can just sort of settle down with contentment and enjoy the blessings of God and be thankful for them, that's the idea of what it means to lie down in green pastures.
And, you know, it seems like the more that we take time to understand God's character and just to reaffirm back to him, I mean, it's almost like a worship song, doesn't it? Say, this is how God relates to me, and this is why he's worthy of praise.
Well, you know, the green pastures, I think, also have another implication, and that is that it has to do with the pastures in which the sheep finds nourishment. And in the Bible, very often, the pasture is likened to Scripture. So Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, lead my sheep into pasture. And he was talking about feeding them with the word of God. The book of Ezekiel makes the same connection, that Israel needed shepherds who would feed them with the word of God. And so I think when it says he makes me lie down in green pastures, it's not only the contentment that we have knowing that all of our needs have been met, but it's the richness that we have as sheep who know how to nourish ourselves with the word of God. And, you know, Neil, I'm a pastor. I pastor a church, and the word pastor comes from that word pasture, and it has to do with someone who's responsible for feeding the flock. And I'm a believer in expositional preaching, and every Sunday I try to take my people into a paragraph of Scripture and show them what that paragraph says, and it's my way of leading them into the pasturage of Scripture. So, you know, the sheep that knows that all of its needs are met and is feeding itself richly on the Word of God, then that's a blessed place to be, and that's where Psalm 23 begins.
The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We'll continue on with the second half of the psalm. We'll talk more about the quiet waters and what it means to be restored and all that with our guest, Rob Morgan, today. So glad that he's taking some time to join us, and thankful that he's written this wonderful book looking at Psalm 23, this oft-quoted, memorized, and beloved psalm. And we've just sort of scratched the surface a bit on that. Rob is a pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He served there for more than 30 years. He's a best-selling author and appeared on a number of radio and TV shows, has millions of copies of his books in print. We're thankful for this latest, The Lord is My Shepherd, finding or resting in the peace and power of Psalm 23. We have a couple of copies that we'll give away here at the end of the show today, and would welcome you to call in and just add to the broadcast, or at least get your name in if you'd like to be in the drawing for that. But if you have been a shepherd, perhaps, or taken care of some sheep, you've learned a lesson or two as well. We just appreciate the study of God's Word and how Rob is just revealing it to us today. We'd love to have you join us at 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. And we'll continue our discussion here in just a moment with Rob Morgan as we talk Psalm 23 on Connecting Faith. My shepherd, I shall not want, need not fear evil. That's one of the wonderful promises that we find in Psalm 23. We're reviewing it today with Pastor Rob Morgan. Robert Morgan is a pastor at the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, and he has written a number of books. This is called The Lord is My Shepherd, and it's resting in the peace and power of Psalm 23. And Rob, actually, you mentioned during the break that you have some study guides and materials that go along with this too, right?
Yes, this book, The Lord is My Shepherd, would be a great book to use for Bible studies or Sunday school classes or small group discussions, and we have a study guide to go with it. And I also have a free resource entitled 23 Trails, which is made up of 23 Bible studies based around sheep and shepherds in the Bible. And it's all, you can download it for free. It's at my website, robertjmorgan.com.
robertjmorgan.com. We'll give that the website out again later. You know, you talked about how often shepherds and sheep are talked about in the Bible. One of our callers, Patty, was just saying, you know, it seemed that they were viewed as, shepherds viewed as lower class in Jesus' day. So did they revere shepherds like David? Was he revered for being a shepherd? I mean, we know that when Samuel came, he was the youngest. He was out taking care of sheep.
Well, that's right. I think that it depends. There were some shepherds like the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were very wealthy, and they had large flocks. And their wealth was based on their livestock in so many ways. And so I think when you get up to that level of being a big rancher, then you know, you were revered in society. But the people who actually were down on the ground taking care of these sheep, it tended to be teenagers and children and young people and people that didn't fit into other places in society. And so they weren't necessarily at the highest levels of sociological strata in biblical times. And so I think the caller has a good point there.
As we talk about going further into Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Talk a little bit about just those phrases.
Well, sheep, of course, are afraid of water, as anyone would who had to go swimming in a wool coat. they would drown very quickly. And so when we raised sheep, we didn't have any pond on our property, and so we had a big barrel that we filled with water using the garden hose, and the sheep would always run away from it when I filled it because the noise of the splash would scare them. But of course, after it was finished, then they would come around that barrel and drink all they wanted. And it just speaks of tranquility, and I think it also speaks some of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is often likened to water in the Bible. Jesus talked about out of our innermost being will come rivers of living water, and he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. But when it says he restores my soul, well, that's a very interesting phrase. In England and on the British Isles, they among the shepherds, they talk sometimes about a cast sheep. And this is a sheep that becomes cast down, that lays down maybe in a little defile or ditch and gets rolled over onto his back, and his legs are all 4 feet pointing upwards, and he can't get back on his feet again. And he can die very, very quickly. He's absolutely helpless. He's helpless against predators. He's helpless against the sunlight and the heat. He can't drink. He can't swallow. And so the shepherd has to come and find that sheep quickly and pick him up and put him back on his feet. And that sheep then becomes restored. And the psalmist said, why are you cast down, O my soul? He was likening himself to a cast down sheep. But the Lord has the ability to come and get us on our feet again and to restore us, because we need to be restored after periods of sorrow or after periods of stress or after periods of sin in our lives when we need forgiveness and restoration. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows exactly how to restore our souls.
Let's take a call from Keith. He's on line four, I think. Keith, you raised sheep a few years ago, did you?
Yes. My wife and I had a small farm flock, and it was just amazing. We loved the sheep, and we loved to learn about the sheep and about God and the 23rd Psalm. But, and I missed a little bit of what you were saying, but he leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. One thing that we learned from the sheep that applies to this is that sheep don't like to drink out of running water, fast water. They like calm water. So if you can picture your sheep taking them to a place where the water's calm, and then the next verse says, he restores my soul, they're comforted by that. They are they're fearful of rushing water. And it just, if you take them to a place where the water's still and they can drink at their leisure and there's no ripples in it, the more they like it and the happier they are. So it's just something a shepherd picks up as you go along with them. They teach you so much.
That's a good point. Thanks, Keith, for the call. Rob, you're right. I mean, that there's a lot we can learn just from caring for these animals.
Well, and the other thing that I was thinking about as Keith talked was that there were some periods when our sheep wouldn't seem to drink any water at all. I never saw them near the watering trough, and I wondered how they were living. And then I realized it was during those seasons of the year when the dew was heavy on the grass, and they tended to get their hydration or their water as they ate the grass. And I've thought since then what a wonderful picture it is of the Spirit enriched scriptures. As we spend time with the Lord every day, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and enriches it in our lives, and it's like we're getting our green pastures and our still waters both together in our daily quiet times. And then as we ruminate, as we meditate on it, it's like chewing the cud, you know. We think about it all day long. And somehow the Word of God is digested and assimilated into our being, and it becomes who we are spiritually. And it's all a very apt analogy. And it's almost hard to take it too far. It's such a good analogy.
You know, it goes on, verse 3, restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Talk about being led down the path of righteousness.
Well, Neil, this is the biggest discovery that I made as I studied the 23rd Psalm in preparation for writing this book, The Lord is My Shepherd. I learned that there is a connection between Psalm 23 and another chapter in the Bible, which is Genesis 37. And Genesis 37 tells the story of Joseph going to look for his brothers who were keeping the flocks. Now, Joseph and his brothers and his father lived in Hebron near Bethlehem. But when you trace out Joseph's migration on the map, he goes up to Shechem, he goes up to Dothan. And if you look at the Bible maps in the back of your Bible, that is a large circle. I mean, it is well over 100 miles that these shepherds traveled with their flocks up to the north of Israel, up to the Samaritan region and southern Galilee, and then they came back at the end of the season. They migrated with the seasons, and shepherds do that here in the southwest of the United States. It's too hot down in the desert areas in the summer, so they go up to the foothills of the Rockies, and then they come back again at the end of the season. And so the sheep were migratory, not that they could migrate like birds and find their own way, but the shepherds would lead them in a circuit, every year. And David was describing this circuit in Psalm 23. He had made it himself, probably in the same pathways that his forebears had been doing for 1,000 years since the days of Abraham. And he knew this circuit very well. And so you leave the green pastures and the still waters of Hebron or of Bethlehem where David lived, because the summer is beginning to dry up the grass and make things hotter, and you hit the trail, and you have to be on the right paths. And this speaks of the Lord guiding us, of the transitions in life, of the way in which he has promised over and over again to lead us every step of the way. And our lives are not always in green pastures and still waters. Sometimes we're in transition. Sometimes we're traveling. But the Bible tells us repeatedly that God guides us, that he leads us. There's an old hymn that says, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care." And I think that this passage in the 23rd Psalm speaks of the Lord guiding us step by step and day from day through all of the days of our lives.
Well, which makes sense as we talk about going through the valley of the shadow of death, that there are in finding those green pastures, there are some times where we have to go through difficult situations.
Well, notice that it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." There's no wasted words in Psalm 23. And so, yea. Are you there, Neil?
Yes, yeah, we're still connected. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, yea speaks to the fact that, yes, even when I go through a dark valley, because on making his way from the south up to the north, they had to go through the canyons around Jerusalem and the Judean hills, and some of those canyons were very deep and frightening, and they were very narrow, so the sunlight wouldn't reach them. They were full of predators. Jesus talked about the road between Jericho and Jerusalem where the thieves were. And sometimes we go through valleys in life, and there are shadows, and some of the listeners today may be going through a hard time in life. But notice that there's something interesting in the 23rd Psalm. This is when the he becomes you, because it begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, he leads me, he restores. But now, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And this psalm becomes a prayer in the valley. And it just speaks to us of the fact that sometimes in our pilgrimage, as we make our migration of life, we go through some very difficult times. It may be physically, it may be with our family, it may be with finances, it may be with various issues that we face. But even in the dark valleys, we don't need to be afraid. The Lord is with us. The shepherd is never more close to us than when we're in the middle of a valley.
And how often God's word invites us to fear not. Probably if there is one command that's repeated more than any, it's probably that, right? To fear no evil.
Yes, he says, because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod was the tool the shepherd used with predators. So if there was an enemy coming, then he would throw that rod, or he would use that rod as a defensive tool and beat away the fox or the animal that was coming to endanger the flock. The staff had a crook at the end of it, and if the sheep got too close to the edge, then the shepherd would snag him with that crook and pull him away from the precipice. And so that's the Lord's way of saying, you know, I'm going to protect you from your enemies. I'm also going to protect you from yourself. I'll keep you from being attacked, and I will also keep you from making missteps. I am your protector in the valley. And, you know, that's a wonderful truth to have in our hearts.
God provides for us all that we need. He gives us the green pastures, the quiet waters, restoring our soul. He guides us in the paths of righteousness, and we need not fear evil when we're walking through difficult times, because his rod and staff comfort. There's a couple of more phrases that we want to get to as we talk about Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd" is the title of a new book from Rob Morgan. The subtitle is "Resting in the Peace and Power of Psalm 23. And we'll continue in just a moment with Rob and invite you to join with us as well. 877-933-2484.
From the studios of HCJB Global, Beyond the Call with Ron Klein.
Wouldn't they ever give up? For years, Eduardo worked alongside the HCJB engineers on construction sites in Quito, Ecuador, and they never stopped sharing the gospel. Wouldn't they take a hint? He wasn't interested. Well, they never gave up, and boy, is he glad they didn't. Because one day, Eduardo was driving down a narrow mountain road when a huge boulder came crashing down on the car ahead of him, crushing the two men inside. Eduardo was terrified. He knew that if he'd been killed on that mountain road, he would have stood before God without Jesus. So Eduardo not only gave his life to Christ, but now he leads a Bible study and witnesses every chance he gets. All because of a boulder and some persistent engineers. Don't wait for a boulder to hit you. Wake up to Christ. Go beyond the call. I'm Ron Klein.
Lord, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want anymore.
You. 47 past the hour. And happy to reconnect today with Rob Morgan. Pastor Robert Morgan is the senior pastor of Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. And he is a best-selling author, gold medallion-winning author, has sold books in the millions. And we're just grateful for his latest because it's a wonderful reminder of God's peace and presence and the power that we find in him. It's called The Lord is My Shepherd. In fact, there are some accompanying resources available, studies, and then one of the things you mentioned, 23 trails, some Bible studies you can find on his website to go along with the book, robertjmorgan.com, robertjmorgan.com. We've always enjoyed our visit with Rob. In fact, this book, I suspect that probably every time you write, you're never very far away from a hymn course or so, because this book, you have a few choruses as well, Rob. We've always enjoyed our discussions talking about favorite hymns, but Psalm 23 has been set to music many times, or the phrases from it anyway.
Well, and I love some of the old renditions of hymns based on the 23rd Psalm. Do you know the hymn that says, "The King of love, my shepherd is, goodness faileth never.
Yeah.
I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever." And I guess my favorite is the old Scottish hymn that actually comes from the Scottish Psalter and set to the music called Cremond. And the words say, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by."
There are, and even as we're talking, I'm sure there's a few listeners that are just remembering and calling to mind those wonderful old hymns and the richness of that text. One of our callers, Joy, had commented about how, sheep know the voice of their shepherd. You discovered that, didn't you, as you had just a few sheep around your house for a few years?
Yes, we had a sheep named Lucy who became blind in her old age, and she knew the pasture very well. We had about 2 acres, and it was fenced in. She was safe, but she would run into the fence or run into the side of the barn. She never hurt herself, but we could just tell that she was blind. And so when I'd go down to feed her, she'd be somewhere in the pasture, and as soon as the chain raked against the gate as I opened it, she'd look up in some alarm, but I'd call to her, and she would recognize my voice and she would start coming in the direction of my voice. And as long as I kept talking to her, she would come right to me. But if I stopped, she'd veer off to the left or to the right and get lost. But I would keep talking to her. "Lucy, here I am. I've got some food for you." And I'd walk towards her. She'd walk towards me, and we would meet somewhere in the middle. And I often thought of what Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I lead them out in and out, and they find pasture." And it's absolutely true that sheep become acclimated to the particular sound of their own shepherd's voice or call, and they don't respond to another shepherd. In fact, they'll run from another shepherd, but they learn the tones and the sounds of their own shepherd's voice and stay attuned to that. And it's so important for us and our relationship with the Lord to be sensitive to his voice and to read his word and to recognize when he's speaking to us and to cultivate this spiritual capacity of hearing, because that's exactly what the Lord wants us to learn from the example of the sheep and the shepherds.
We're reading through Psalm 23, the last couple of verses. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Talk a little bit about that.
This, I think, if we go back to the idea of the migration, is when the shepherd has his sheep up in the higher elevations where the pastures are not domesticated. They've got to be prepared. It takes a lot of hard work. There's not ponds, and so the wells have to be dug and the water hauled up and poured into the troughs until they're overflowing. When if a sheep is hurt, he's got to be anointed with olive oil because there's no other medications available, and that's how healing occurs, because olive oil is a tremendous medicine for cuts and scrapes and bruises for a sheep. And it just has to do with those times in life we're on high places, but we need the tending care of the shepherd. And it all fits into this migratory picture that we have in Psalm 23.
And, you know, that I remember a friend telling me about, as you talk about in the book, too, the idea that surely in goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That the idea of following is a significant word. Talk about that.
Well, in the Hebrew, the word here is a very vigorous word. Follow is a weak English translation of that word. It was often used in the Old Testament as pursue and translated to describe being chased by an animal or by an enemy. And so literally what it says is goodness and mercy will chase or pursue me like an animal. And so many commentators believe that what David had in mind here as he wrote it were his sheepdogs, because every shepherd has sheepdogs. They have for thousands of years. And if you think about it, you've got one shepherd and maybe 200 or 300 sheep. But who's going to come at the end when you're leading those sheep to make sure there aren't any stragglers and that the sheep stay together and that they're protected in their rear flanks? And that's what the dogs did. And they would chase after the sheep, and with sometimes a little menacing bark in their voice, they'd keep them corralled and they would protect them on their rear flanks from predators. And that's exactly what goodness and mercy do for us. They corral us, they chase us, they protect our comings and our goings. They keep us close to the shepherd, and they are constantly vigilant. A good sheepdog is worth more than almost anything else to a shepherd. He can do more than half a dozen hirelings. And so so I think maybe this is this completes the picture here that David gives us of the task of the shepherds by showing us his sheepdogs. And someone told me the other day that they had known a shepherd once who had two sheepdogs, and he literally named them goodness and mercy.
And I'm sure they provided that at just the right time, protecting the flanks and keeping us in line. Of course, the last line, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what a wonderful promise that has been over the years.
Well, I think that in the actual migrations of David and the patriarchs, you know, what happened was at the end of the season, they would come back to the father's house, back to the farmstead, back to Hebron or back to Bethlehem. But as David applies this psalm here, it means that as we migrate onward in life, we spiral upward to heaven. And Jesus borrowed from this phrase, my Father's house, when he said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I think that when Jesus spoke in John 14, he was thinking back to this imagery in the 23rd Psalm, and it's a reference to heaven, to the new Jerusalem, and to the new heavens and to the new earth that are described for us so wonderfully in Revelation 21 and 22. And I go into all of that in my book, The Lord is My Shepherd, because I think that this is a picture really of the Christian at the end of life and at the beginning of eternity and the eternal home that we have. And when you think about it, Neil, Psalm 23 begins with the words, the Lord, and it ends with the word forever, and everything else is in between. And that's just where we are as his sheep. We have the Lord behind us, we have forever in front of us, and we have his companionship as our shepherd in all of the intervening years.
And I love how you had described it, almost like the Celts were very well clear at reminding us that, you know, God is ever present. He's before us, he's behind us, beside us, around us. I mean, that this psalm really does summarize that in a fresh new way if we actually look at it.
Well, and it's been helpful to so many people. One of my joys in writing this book, The Lord is My Shepherd, is finding stories of soldiers in Korea or in World War II or in other battlefields who, at moments of great crisis, found the Lord was their shepherd, and this particular psalm helped them. And I think it's true for an awfully lot of people that there are moments in our lives when only the 23rd Psalm will do.
Rob, is there, you mentioned that in your times of stress that this psalm has been encouraging to you. Do you look at it differently now, even just having recently done this book?
Well, I see it more holistically. I do see it, as we've been talking about, as a migration, as describing the pilgrimage of our lives. And as I preach about it and teach about it and lecture on it and write on it, you know, one thing that I've found is that I've never worn it out, not even in my own mind. I've never gotten tired of it. There is something perpetually fresh about the 23rd Psalm. And there are so many other passages in Scripture that are cross-references. For example, when Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd," then he was co-opting Psalm 23 and making it his own. Now, when we make the 23rd Psalm our own, we do so from the perspective of the sheep. But when Jesus made the 23rd Psalm his own, he did so from the perspective of the shepherd. And we can rightly say with biblical authority, based upon John 10, that we are correct if we say that Psalm 23 can be applied to us with these words, "The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd, therefore I have everything I need," because he told us in John 10 that that was exactly what he intends for Psalm 23 to say to us.
Well, it's our hope, Rob, just during our time together today, that we'll be encouraged to open up our Bibles and have a fresh look at Psalm 23 and discover the richness that's there, because they're just six verses, but they're packed with the reminder of God's presence. As you say, it begins with the Lord and ends with forever, and everything in between is covered.
Yes, and it means all the world to us. We can go to bed every night of our lives and go to sleep meditating on Psalm 23, and we will never fathom the depths of its meaning for us.
Happy to have as a guest again today, Rob Morgan. Rob is pastor at Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, and he's written many books. The latest, "The Lord is My Shepherd," resting in the peace and power of Psalm 23. And we recommend it to you. Also, check out his website, robertjmorgan.com, for resources that would add to your study of Psalm 23. Rob, great to visit with you. Blessings to you this week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith. And again, you want to listen to it again, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com.